The episode you're about to listen to is a part of a previous season of The Undisputed Politics with Robert Wilson Jr. So you may notice there's going to be a difference in the name of the show, the background music, the intro, outro, and even some of the mentionings of the show throughout the course of the show. We've had this show for 2 years and we've made several different changes to the show, but we wanted to keep the episodes available for our listeners to be able to go back and listen and enjoy previous episodes. So thank you guys for tuning in, and thank you guys for the support that you've given over the last 2 years. So here it is. Please enjoy another episode of The Undisputed Politics with Robert Wilson Jr. All right. Welcome back to another episode of The Undisputed Politics with Robert Wilson. All right, you guys, I told you guys we were coming back with part two of our Pride Month. And so we are back with another episode today, and we're discussing all of the things, baby. We're discussing Lil Nas X, Pride Month, transgender awareness, all of the things LGBTQ. And so I need y'all to come on in and listen to today's episode. Thank you guys, and let's hop right on into it. I've lived in Greenwood all of my life, and I grew up in two of the most historic areas in our city, Baptist Town.
Greenwood is no stranger to protests and civil rights movements. In the 1960s, people protested in front of City Hall for equal opportunity for voter registration. The spirit that the organizer of the event, Robert Wilson, says pushed them towards leading the event.
All right, so we're at the end of Pride Month. We're wrapping things up, and as you guys know, I told you guys at our first Pride Month episode that Pride Month is so special to the LGBTQ community because it is a month for us to, you know, showcase why, you know, acceptance and equality and equity for the LGBTQ plus community is good, why it is a priority. You know, so much happens during two LGBTQ plus individuals, and you know, Pride Month is our time for awareness and all of the things that, you know, a lot of people choose Pride Month to come out. You know, it's just so much about Pride Month that is, it's Pride Month. You know, there's thousands and millions probably of pride festivals and different things like that that happen around the world, you know, where people are celebrating being them. People are celebrating love. People are celebrating being different. But I wanted to do this episode because we all know, if you know me personally, if you follow my podcast, and you also follow my, you know, public page, or you know me from the city that I live in, or however you know me. And so some people who don't know me, I absolutely love Lil Nas X. Oh my gosh. My God. That is my... If Lil Nas X ever listened to this podcast, if somebody send it to him or whatever, please. Because I love him, you know. I call him my husband, you know. I feel like me and him could probably be best friends, you know. I don't really have a lot of gay friends, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in the episode. But I don't really have like a lot of gay friends, but I really think that he would be someone who I would definitely be friends with, simply just based on, you know, how he carries himself and some of the things that he does, you know, to bring awareness to our community. He's a troll. I love, and I just love all of the trolling that he does. I love it. I love everything about him. And so, speaking of the trolling, you guys know that Lil Nas X released this song a couple of months ago or weeks ago, however. And pretty much the song was, you know, trolling Christian religious people who talk about, you know, gays are going to hell and different things like that. So, of course, you know, there's the BET Awards. And Lil Nas X performed at the BET Awards. Because nobody's canceling anyone for being gay in 2021. You know, that is a thing of the past, people being canceled for being gay. And so what a lot of heterosexual, homophobic people thought was that, oh, Lil Nas X came out with that song. It pissed off a lot of the Christian people. It pissed off a lot of religious people that somehow, you know, that was going to stop Lil Nas X from getting the exposure, Lil Nas X from growing within the industry. But it's 2021 and things are so different. Things are so different from what they used to be. Things are not the same as they used to be back in the days when people had to be scared, people had to tiptoe. And it's something that is growing rapidly, quite honestly. Acceptance of LGBTQ plus people is something that's growing rapidly. I just graduated high school in 2016. And I was telling someone this the other day, in 2016, just when I was in high school from 2012 to 2016, just during that time at my school, there was literally about 6 out gay men, you know, outwardly gay boys in my school. You know, of course, there were some outwardly gay girls as well, but, you know, from the, you know, just speaking from the male perspective of being gay, you know, because I'm a gay male, there was literally 6 gay men out of the entire school that were out, you know, and there were a lot of DL guys. And the reason why there were so many DL guys, and, you know, me personally, I was bullied a lot. And I'll actually do another episode at some point, you know, to talk about bullying and all of that stuff, you know, as a growing up in the LGBTQ plus community. But, you know, the reason why there were so many DL, down low, you know, gay boys at my school is because being gay at the time was just something that was frowned upon. You know, it was something that, you know, like I said, I was bullied for. And, you know, you that at the time, and still even today, even though things are changing rapidly, even today, you know, people just, you know, being gay, it's just not, especially with popular students, you know, you aren't allowed to be gay and be on the football team. I mean, you are, but, you know, legally, I would say, okay, yes, you are. But, you know, from a point of view of, you know, being realistic, you can't be on the football team and be gay and expect to get the same treatment. You can't be on the basketball team and expect to get the same treatment from people on the team, you know, because these are sports, and even baseball and, you know, other different sports or whatever, the sports world in general, you aren't allowed to, you know, and it is so frowned upon. Even now, you know, even though things are changing, you know, a lot of it is really different depending on where you live and different things like that, because people have different mindsets or whatever. But one thing, you know, I really want to talk about, and the reason why I brought up the Lil Nas X performing at the BET Awards, is because at the end of his performance, Lil Nas X kissed one of you know, the performers or whatever. And there was this major uproar at the fact that he did that. And what pisses me off so bad, and y'all, if you listening and you listen to the episodes, you know I'm about to go in. You know I'm about to get into it. What pisses me off about homophobic people, and it's just like racism. You know, you have the people who say I'm not a racist. I do this. Oh, I love the gays. I love the gays. There's nothing wrong with the gays, but you know, you don't do too much. Don't do too much. Nobody says anything when Nicki Minaj kisses on bitches. Nobody says anything when Cardi B is kissing on bitches. Nobody says anything when Meg Thee Stallion is busting it wide open. Nobody says anything when Madonna, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, all of these people do things that are so-called unchristian, unreligious, all of these things that are so hell-bent. Nobody says anything. Now, they say, now that I've seen some discussion where people are like, oh yeah, they said something, but they don't get the same way they get when somebody gay do something. Lil Nas X kiss a man in a performance, and then all of a sudden, here we go talking about the kids. Here we go talking about the kids. Oh my God, kids are watching this. Were the kids not watching it when they was up down that stage shaking their ass talking about WAP? Were the kids not watching it when Meg Thee Stallion was up there talking about bot shit? Were the kids not watching, or were the kids not a concern when the City Girls was up there talking about the motherfucking twerkulator? Were the kids not a concern when Ursha was talking about Let It Burn? Were the kids not a concern when the Yin Yang Twins was talking about Shaking That Ass? Why the kids always a concern when it's somebody gay? And see, what a lot of heterosexual straight people don't realize about their homophobia is that that is a trope for the gay community. For LGBTQ men, that is a gay homophobic trope. There are so many people, so many young people and adults who are traumatized, who are bullied because people think that because they are gay, that they somehow are a pedophile. Because they are gay, they somehow like children. Because they are gay, they like to fumble around. All they like to do is think about sex. And what bothers me with this is, like I said, what bothers me and what pisses me off is that this is only a conversation that we have. This is only a conversation that is brought up. This is only a conversation that happens when it's somebody that's gay. We don't have this conversation about lesbian women. We don't have this conversation when we're talking about, you know, cis women and cis men. We don't have this conversation. We don't talk about kids. We don't bring up the kids. But we don't bring up none of that. Even with WAP, when people was in an uproar about WAP, they weren't in an uproar about the kids. They were uproared and they were upset and they were mad because women were doing it. They were mad because they were saying women were degrading their bodies and different things. Nobody was out here screaming, oh, the kids. The kids. Oh my God, the kids. Nobody was screaming. It was a few people, but it wasn't a large amount of people as people are about Lil Nas X kissing on the damn stage. And I need homophobic, heterosexual people to understand that it ain't nobody else's job to raise your damn kids. And that's the reason why the title of this episode today is Raise Your Own Goddamn Kids. Raise your own damn kids. Why y'all always want to sit up here and bring up the damn kids when it relates to music, when it relates to movies, when it relates to culture? In my experience, my mama raised me. When it came down to me listening to certain music that was, you know, ungodly and all of that type of stuff, I did it on my own. I had to sneak and do it because my mama didn't play that. So I don't understand why these days it's up to, you know, YouTube, it's up to TikTok, it's up to artists who are making music, it's up to people who are acting in movies, it's up to the producers who are producing the movies, it's up to everybody to raise your damn kids but you. Raise your own damn kids. And if you can't raise your own damn kids, then guess what? You need to just shut the hell up. Shut the hell up. Shut the hell up. And I'm just going to be honest. I'm just going to say it. I don't care who the fuck I offend. I don't give a damn. I'm out. I'm proud to be out. I'm proud to be gay. I love myself. I love people who are like me. And I really want people to understand that it is nobody else's job for you, for us, for anybody to raise your damn kids. And then the other thing that pisses me off so bad about, this particular situation as it relates to LGBTQ people and heterosexual homophobic people who want to bring up kids and shit every time something happens that they don't like, that's too much when it comes down to gay people being gay. What pisses me off, another thing that pisses me off, is people act like there aren't any gay children. People act like being gay is something that is learned. People act like being gay is something that people just magic. We just have some potion that we give out to make people gay. Nobody get. As a gay man, I can tell you right now. Nobody gave me no magical pill that said, "Robert, be gay today." Nobody gave me some magical drug that said, "Robert, be." I didn't get no shot. I didn't get nothing. You want to know how I knew I was gay? I just ain't had no damn feelings for no woman. I didn't get no. My heart didn't start rushing for now. I didn't like that. I didn't get excited. And I'm just gonna be real straight up about it because we are unfiltered on this show. My dick didn't get hard for no woman. When I hit puberty, God damn it, I wasn't excited about no woman. When I hit puberty, I was excited about a man. I was excited about the little teenage boys. That was my experience. I started having sex at a young age with down low boys. My heart was always broken because I was out and they weren't. But the thing that bothers me the most is that people act like kids don't be, they act like there's no, like, gay kids don't exist. You got the whole thing out here with Republicans making this big thing of transgender youth and athletes, and that, the amount of transgender athletes that are teenagers in high school and even in college is, I'm just gonna be honest, almost non-existent. It's not a thing. I mean, I'm sure there are some out there, but it's not like there are millions and gazillions of transgender LGBTQ athletes that are out here trying to turn straight people gay or transgender, however you want to be. And so that's the thing that pisses me off. And I want this episode, I know that people are, who are listening to this particular episode or who listened to the last episode, you aren't the homophobic people. You aren't, because you can't be if you're listening to this episode. If you're listening to this episode, you're likely somebody who's listening because you support the LGBT community and you're an ally. What I want allies for our community to understand is that we don't need allies at this point. At this point, we need fighters. I was talking to a friend girl the other day, and I was telling her that one of the reasons why I don't befriend a lot of girls who my friends. When I have friends, I can only befriend girls. I can only befriend girls who will check their boyfriends. I can only befriend guys who will check their girlfriends. If you are a friend of mine, and you are allowing your boyfriend to say homophobic things, if you are a friend of mine and you're allowing your girlfriend to say homophobic things, and you're not checking them, then you're no friend of mine. Because you're not a true supporter of me. You're not a true supporter of my lifestyle. You're not a true supporter of the way that I live. You're not a true supporter of the people who are like me. And so, if you can't check them, then we can't be friends. Period. Period. We just cannot. And so that is one of the biggest issues I have with a lot of allies, is that a lot of allies are fake. A lot of allies are phony. A lot of the people who say they support the LGBTQ community and all of these things are fake and phony. Because they love to support, they love to say they love the gays. I love the girls. Oh yes, I can, the girls can do my hair. The girls can do me a dance. The girls can get me together good with my makeup. They can beat me down. They can beat me down to the floor. They can beat this face up. But baby, what the girls bet not do, they bet not do too much. They bet not get on stage kissing no man. They bet not be out here acting too gay around the kids. They better keep that mess at home. But it is okay for, like I said, the Beyoncé's. It's okay for the Beyoncé's. It's okay for the everybody. It's okay for the Money Bag Yo. It's okay for the Lil Durk. It's okay for the Meg Thee Stallion, the Nicki Minaj, the Cardi B's, the City Girls, and everybody else out here. The Ushers, the Yin Yang Twins, the everybody. It's okay for all of these people to do whatever they want to do and say. But as long as they straight, as long as they not pushing nothing homo, nothing dealing with the gays and the LGBT community, oh, it's good. We not bringing up no kids. The kid, it's fine. It's fine. Let the kids grow up to be straight. Do little Jimmy got a little girlfriend? All of that. It's okay. But if they gay, we not supporting it. And so, that's an issue that needs to be addressed. That's a conversation that needs to be had. That is something that needs to be on the forefront. If we're going to care about the kids, we need to care about the kids all the way. We need to go all the way in when we talking about the kids. Because, see, what we don't want to do, and I'm just going to, this show is unfiltered and we undisputed over here, so I'm just going to go ahead and say it. The black community will support a pedophile. The black community will support their racist uncle. The black community will set up and support their racist uncle, Bill Cosby. They will support their rapist uncle. I said racist, I'm sorry. But they, rapist, I meant to say rapist. They will support their rapist uncle. They will support their racist stepdaddy and all of these racist people, rapist people who will set up and rape the little girls and rape the little boys and things. But when it comes down to people being outwardly gay, when it comes down to people loving themselves and being who they are, you can't do that. You're not going to come to the family gathering with no wig on, no makeup. You're not going to do that. You're not going to be on TV kissing. You're not going to be on TV dancing. You're not going to be doing all of that. And see, that's my biggest issue. Gay people shouldn't have to make you feel comfortable. You shouldn't have to stop being black. You shouldn't have to tone down your blackness to make a white motherfucker feel good. So why should you have to tone down being gay and being transgender, non-binary, whatever else you want to be within the spectrum? Why should you have to tone down yourself to make this straight motherfucker feel good because they uncomfortable with their sexuality? They're uncomfortable with who they are. They are uncomfortable with what they got going on. So they so pissy that you are comfortable in your skin. They so pissy that you so comfortable enough that you gonna get up on the BET and kiss somebody. They so uncomfortable and they don't want you to make them feel uncomfortable. They want to feel comfortable. They want to be able to just do, say, and be whoever they are, and nobody can say anything to them. You're not allowed to be like that. So, like I said, It is a conversation that needs to be had. It is a conversation that needs to be addressed within the LGBTQ community, within the Black community, and within all communities. It needs to be discussed on why the children are only a priority when it comes down to the gays. And so, before I go on my commercial break, I'm going to say it one last time. Raise your own damn kids. And that's just on period. All right. So we're going to go ahead into our commercial break and we will be back on. I'll see you guys on the other end of this break. On the other end of this break, we will be talking about the NFL player who came out as gay. Oh my God, it's a big deal. I'm gonna get into it on the other side of this break, you guys. So catch me on the other side.
We don't say shit when y'all out here kissing on each other, doing what the fuck y'all wanna do. So why can't he go out there and be who the fuck he wanna be? Who said he was trying to put it in your face? Bitch, that's just what the fuck he wanted to do. Did nobody say no when Cardi B was out there kissing them two girls in the mouth? When they be doing WAP? When Nicki Minaj kissed her person, when Madonna kissed her person, did nobody say shit? It's cold, it's sexy, that's hot. Oh my God, look at this. But when he do it too much. That just makes me so mad. Like, how is it straight people can go around and do what they want to do, but when we as LGBT want to do something and be ourselves, we have to hold back who we are and our creativity because we want to make sure we don't offend nobody. Nigga, what the fuck? Fuck you!
Bless yourself, that's what I tell myself, cause I've been talking secrets into the mirror. Never ever more than a whisper. Lips airtight. Scared when I sleep at night. Let my subconscious take over and let out everything I don't want to fall out. Yeah. Waiting for the time. Waiting for the place. And I need somebody to tell me it'll be alright. Somebody to tell me it'll be just fine.
So we are back from our break, and I told you guys on this portion of the show we would be talking about the NFL player who came out as gay. And oh my God, I live for it. You guys, I live for it. You know, I live for it. So, a Raiders player, Carl Nassib, came out as gay. He is a defensive lineman for the Raiders, and his name is Carl Nassib, and he came out in a video that he posted on, I think it was Instagram, if I'm not mistaken, and he said that he was donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project, which is dedicated to suicide prevention for LGBTQ youth. So we're dropping a little knowledge on today's episode. So if you don't know about the Trevor Project, I encourage you to please go to their website. You know, you'll find a lot of good information there. You know, if you know someone who's LGBTQ, if you are an ally, or, you know, you are LGBTQ yourself, you know, this the Trevor Project is a great platform or, you know, organization for you to check out if you would like to donate and be able to contribute to the cause of suicide prevention as it relates to LGBTQ plus you. And so, I'm going to read you a little snippet from the New York Times article. It says, this was on June 21st. It says, on Monday, Raiders defensive lineman Carl Nassib became the first active NFL player to publicly declare that he is gay. I just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay, Nassib said in a video posted on his Instagram. So it was Instagram where he posted it. I just think that representation and visibility are so important. I actually hope that, like, one day videos like this and the whole coming out process are just not necessary. Snaps to that, amen. But until then, I'm going to do my best and my part to cultivate a culture that's accepting, that's passionate. Before adding that he would donate $100,000 to the Trevor Project, sadly, I have agonized over this moment for the last 15 years, he wrote in the post. Nassib, a 5-year NFL veteran who previously played with the Cleveland Browns and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, said he was finally comfortable getting it off my chest. Nassib, 28, thanked his coaches, teammates, and the NFL for their support. I would not be able to do this without them, he wrote in his Instagram post. In a statement Monday, Commissioner Roger Goodell said he was proud of Carl for courageously sharing his truth. Representation matters. The Raiders quickly showed their support for Nassib's announcement, writing, "Proud of you, Carl," in a post on the team's Twitter account that also included his original statement. Two of his teammates, defensive lineman Darius Steeles and edge rusher Max Crosby, voiced their support by coming under Nassib's post that they were proud of him. DeMaurice Smith, executive director of the NFL Players Association, also said in a Twitter post that he and the union supported Nassib. Nassib's announcement, made during Pride Month, is a significant turning point for the NFL and makes him the first openly gay active player in the league's 101-year history. Sports are, in many ways, one of the last bastions of a place where homophobia can thrive, as I told you guys previously. A lot of people are more open to LGBTQ people, and, you know, the world is opening up and becoming more understanding and different things like that. But one of the worst places right still is being an athlete. One of the worst places you can be is being an athlete, you know, having to be in the locker rooms and having to deal with over masculine men and, you know, testosterone or whatever and all of that stuff. So that's what this article is saying. So I'll continue on. It says that there was Kathy Rena, a spokeswoman for the National LGBTQ Task Force, who said that. And so to have a professional athlete of that caliber, particularly one of the major sports leagues like the NFL, it really is historic. A bevy of current and former athletes from around sports reacted positively to Nassib's announcement, including the retired tennis star Billie Jean King, who wrote, "The ability to live an authentic life is so important in social media," in a social media post. Sarah K. Ellis, Chief Executive of the LGBTQ advocacy organization, GLAAD, called the announcement a historic reflection of the growing state of the LGBTQ visibility and inclusion in the world of professional sports, which has been driven by a long list of brave LGBTQ athletes who came before Nasib. Michael Sam, an All-American defensive lineman at Missouri, had been viewed as the most likely to acquire that distinction when he announced he is gay before being chosen by the Rams in the seventh round of the 2014 NFL draft, but he was cut at the end of that year's training camp. The Dallas Cowboys signed Sam to their practice squad, but he never played in a regular season game. Sam's draft status was seen as a barometer of whether the climate of men's pro sports was becoming more accepting of gay athletes, particularly because in February of 2014, the NBA had just become the first of four traditional major American men's sports leagues to have an openly gay active player when Jason Collins joined the Nets. But Sam left the NFL without making any impact on the field. Nasib, by contrast, has already played with three teams over five seasons and is under contract through 2022. After a collegiate career at Penn State, he was chosen by the Browns in the third round of the 2016 draft. He played two seasons in Cleveland before playing two more seasons in Tampa. The Raiders signed him to a three-year, $25 million contract in March of 2020. He has tallied 20.5 sacks during his career. A handful of NFL players had previously announced publicly that they were gay, but all after playing careers were over. David Coppé became the first pro football player to publicly come out as gay in 1975, 3 years after he retired. He played for 9 seasons with the San Francisco 49ers. So, if you haven't, please go look at this New York Times article. It's very long, so I'm not gonna read all of it, but please go read into it. It gives you a little bit of you know, history. It drops a couple of names of, you know, people who have come out as gay within the NFL and also within the NBA. And it also talks about the importance of, you know, LGBTQ visibility and all of that stuff. So please go read that article. But I really wanted to talk about that on today's episode because it is so important that LGBTQ youth see representation. And I see so many people, like I said, so many people talk about, you know, the gays doing too much. The gays aren't doing anything different than what everybody else does. The only thing is people just don't like the gays. And I feel like if people don't like LGBTQ people, then you should just be straight up about that. That is something that you're going to have to confront with yourself. That's nothing that we should have to confront for you. You should have to confront that for yourself. And I don't understand why so many people have this issue with LGBTQ people living their lives in true color. And then people bring up this agenda. We somehow collectively, all of the gays have gotten together and we have this major agenda to turn the world gay. Oh my goodness, all of us are part of some type of clan and we get together in this clan. We have our meetings and we get together and we want to turn everybody gay. And I just don't understand why this is a narrative. I'm not saying a narrative that is pushed because it's not really pushed. It's just something that people bring up all the time. When, like I said, when something controversial happens, people bring up this narrative that somehow the gays have this agenda towards, you know, straight people and that we somehow want to turn everybody straight. I mean, you know, we somehow want to turn everybody gay and all of this stuff. And the only issue now, The issue I have with that is that there's no agenda with people living their best life. And I feel like, you know, people talk about we're doing too much for the kids. Kids need to see themselves. And I get emotional when I talk about this because, like I said, growing up in high school, I was bullied. And, you know, some of it, You know, some of the bullying I received was on my own accord. And, you know, it was because I did things that I didn't know better. I didn't know better. I did things that I just didn't know better. And a part of that is, you know, me not having a good support system at the time. A part of it is me not, you know, educating myself on different topics and different things as it relates to being gay and LGBTQ. But for the most part, I was bullied for being me. In high school, I was very flamboyant. I wore cute little scarves. I would switch through the halls. Everybody knew I was gay. I was gay, baby. And I would, like, get bullied. And so I struggled a lot because when it came down to music, when it came down to movies and different things, I didn't see myself. And so there were a lot of times I would think to myself, I'm not going to make it in this world. In high school, I had this dream of being a band director. And a lot of the pain of being bullied and different things like that hurt me as it relates to, you know, that passion of mine. Because once I got to college, the biggest thing that happened to me once I got to college is I started thinking like, oh my God, you know, I'm not going to be great with kids. I'm not, you know, the people want black men in education, but they don't want black gay men. You know, people want men in education, but they, men like me, I'm a black gay man. So the kids aren't gonna, you know, be receptive and that open to this black gay man they won't see me the same way they will see this heterosexual man. And so I struggled a lot with that. And a lot of that was because I didn't see the representation. I never had a homosexual LGBTQ male teacher. I never saw that. I never saw growing up any LGBTQ, men directing bands and, you know, being involved at that level. And, you know, that's why I say it's important for LGBTQ youth, because imagine a LGBTQ young person who wants to be on TV. And they're watching these shows and they're watching these Disney movies and all of this stuff. And all they ever see is these straight people. They never see someone in these movies that are different, someone who are like them. And so they grow up to think that there's no place for them. So they have suicidal thoughts. They think that, oh, nobody loves them. Oh, they don't have a place here. Oh, they don't fit in with this certain group of people. Oh, they won't be welcomed here. They won't be welcomed there. They won't be able to get this job. And most of the time, quite honestly, it is the case. There are some spectrums of the world where, you know, homophobia and all of that stuff is a big thing. In Hollywood, for instance, you know, there is, in Hollywood, there's racism and there's homophobia. So it definitely will be hard for an LGBTQ person to get ahead or, you know, to get certain roles and different things like that. But to see more LGBTQ representation in that field, in that, you know, in that profession, it lets LGBTQ youth know that there is a possibility. There are people out there who care about you. There are people out there that would like to see you. You are welcomed in this space. And so when it comes down to athletics, LGBTQ youth in athletics, it is so important for, you know, for what Carl did, because I know, like I said, that in high school, I'm not going to drop no names or nothing like that. But like I said, in high school, you know, I was talking to and I was dating a lot of DL men. And sometimes these guys were on sports teams and different things like that. And like I said, they couldn't come out. And so imagine the young men who are watching this, who are on a basketball team, who are on a football team, and who want to come out, who don't feel comfortable being in certain spaces and listening to certain talk and all of this stuff, and they want to come out and they want to be who they are around people that they call their brothers, people, and even women, you know, we're not going to exclude lesbian women, you know, even young girls who are out there who are on these sports teams and different things like that, and they want to come out, but they are scared of what people are going to think about them. Imagine them seeing this man come out and he's on the NFL. He's in the NFL. And when he came out, he had the support of his team. He had the support of, you know, other teammates. Now I'm not going to say. Now, because we already know. We already talked about how the people be upset with Lil Nas X. So we already know it's probably some men, even on his team or on some other teams, that ain't all there for him coming out as gay. So we already know what the T is on that. But for... you know, his, you know, to see some of his teammates, to see the actual NFL commissioner and people like, you know, people with big names and different things like that actually come out and say, we don't give a damn about you being gay. You know, you still a teammate. Can you win us game? You know, to see that, it's gonna resonate to young people. There are young, like I said, there are young gay people out here who are going to see this and be like, okay, all right, it's cool for me. And so that's the important thing, because for me, I'm all about people living in their truth. I'm all about people living for themselves. And so that's just my unfiltered, undisputed take on it. I thank you guys for tuning in to today's episode. And, you know, it's Pride Month. We're ending Pride Month on this note. Episode 10 is going to be the finale of our second season of Undisputed Politics, and I'm so glad that people have tuned in. Thank you guys for tuning in once again, and please continue following, please continue sharing the podcast. I'm so excited that we have listeners all across the world listening to this podcast. We have people in Australia, people in just everywhere, United Kingdom. It's just people everywhere. And I'm so excited about that, because that means that there are people out here who want to hear a Black LGBTQ voice. And so I'm so excited about what I'm going to bring in season two. In season three, I know this season, I promise you guys so much when it comes to guests and different things like that. But things have just been so busy for me in my personal life. And so I'm not going to make any promises for season three, but just know that season three, I'm going to be really trying to put way more effort into this podcast. Season two, I put in a lot more effort than I did for season one. So I was more consistent with the episodes and different things like that. And so I can't wait for the finale of season two, which will be coming very soon. So stay tuned. And like I said, again, I thank you guys for tuning in, and we're out. Bye-bye.